Sam Plunt on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The CBC News Vancouver anchor Gloria Makarenko joins me now. The host of the evening newscast at 5 and 6 has just celebrated her 25th anniversary at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. It's a good time to look back at her time at the public broadcaster as well as look ahead. She recently began hosting Our Vancouver, an hourly program on weekends. I'll ask her about that. As well, we'll reflect on the CBC, what with all the talk about the CBC and its place in the country. I'll ask Ms. Makarenko about the broadcast, which features Johanna Wagstaff with the weather and Shane Foxman on sports. Gloria Makarenko is an award-winning journalist who has won many awards, including a Jack Webster, a Leo, and multiple RTNDA awards. She's guest-hosted the National, CBC News Now, as well as the radio programs The Early Edition, BC Almanac, and over the last couple of weeks on the coast, sitting in for the redoubtable Stephen Quinn. Gloria is also prominent throughout the city, volunteering and hosting for many organizations. The website for more is at cbc.ca/bc. Please welcome to the Plunt Online program, Gloria Makarenko. Ms. Makarenko, good morning.
Hello to you.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. I'm just listening to that introduction. It's like, I've been busy.
You have, yeah. The reason why, I've had all the anchors on at 6 on the program. Tony was on a couple years ago for his book. And I realized that you were probably the last one who hasn't been on. And then I saw a tweet you sent Grant Lawrence a couple of months ago, saying that it was your 25th anniversary at the CBC shortly, and so I thought this would be a good time to chat.
Yes, as of May, I was just watching the story on the anniversary of the Tiananmen massacre on last night's newscast, and thinking that I was just a few weeks into my first anchoring stint at CBC, so that was 25 years ago as of May.
Yeah, it's gone by rather quickly, hasn't it?
It sure has for me.
Yeah, you were a child then, I guess, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is a competitive market, isn't it?
Vancouver is an incredibly competitive market. Yes. Well, I guess the entire country is when you think about the three networks competing, but we're all vying for a bigger piece of that shrinking pie for 6 o'clock news. Yes.
And have you noticed that the audience? Not just for your newscast, obviously, but for all the newscasts have declined? Because, I mean, I find that people aren't home anymore at 6 p.m.
Well, it's not only that they're not home, it's that they've got news on their mobile devices. People are better informed than ever because they want it in the moment. The phrase of the moment is on demand. And I think we have to stop expecting viewers to come to us. We have to find ways to go to viewers and to be their news brand of choice, I guess. You just mentioned seeing a comment on Twitter. Well, if you're not getting your news alerts on Twitter, then you're probably getting old news.
Yeah.
You know, Twitter, Facebook, those are the new sources of news alerts, and, you know, first you heard it there first, which doesn't mean there isn't a place for local news broadcasts that can give you the depth and, you know, the story behind the headline. So I think it's not as if we're obsolete, but we certainly have to keep up with the times in terms of bringing news to our viewers.
Now, at the CBC, at CBC Vancouver, are ratings a preoccupation of yours? I mean, it seems that it is for the other stations. But for you, I mean, is that something that you look at the every morning in terms of when you come into work, the numbers from last night, say?
I don't personally do that. I think that there are probably managers that do that, probably mm-hmm. wringing their hands and putting their hands through their hair, just saying, what the heck is going on? There are, as you know, minute-to-minute ratings available that can help you decide programming decisions if it looks like there's dips at certain parts of the hour and that type of thing. I learned a long time ago that I don't think it's fair to go by minute-to-minute ratings. I think you look at general trends. I think you can probably just wear yourself out, or it's a losing battle, let's just say, to look at the numbers every day and kind of beat yourself up over decisions that were, you know, maybe not the right decisions to make at the time. Ratings at the same time do show that CBC is in a distant third place in the market here in Vancouver. That's not a proud place to be. You know, there are probably a lot of reasons for that, but it's a competitive market. Global has been the dominant player in the local news scene for 40 years. You know, Tony Parsons was the head of that newscast for a good part of that when they really revolutionized, I think, local news coverage and have been riding on that reputation with a solid constituency of viewers for many, many decades. You know, CTV has come on strong. They put a lot of money. They've got a helicopter. They've got a very flashy-looking show. And CBC is just, you know, we're sticking to our journalism. And whether or not that appeals to a broad spectrum of people, I think we just have to stay focused on what we do well, and that's good journalism. You know, we have the advantage as well of not just looking at the TV ratings, but looking at CBC as a whole and CBC as the brand and the credible brand, and absolutely looking to grow our, you know, digital presence, and that's just inevitable. That is, you know, that world is changing at light speed. Yeah. So we have to keep up. I'm not saying that you know, to go to your initial question about do I look at ratings? No, I don't. Do I think they are a reader of you know, trends in general? CBC and numbers right across the board indicate that, you know, regular viewers at dinner time are declining everywhere.
Yeah, but you do have your stable of reporters. I mean, the first class reporters. I mean, you have veterans there like Rankin and Kirk Williams, but you also have sort of younger reporters that I think are pretty good. People like Burritt and Stephen Smart.
Yeah.
What's that like, putting a newscast together with a team that you have? I mean, it must be.
It's a treat.
Yeah,
it's a treat. Well, you know, you can count on them.
Yeah.
You know, you can count on them. They're, you say, you mix that, you know, the seasoned veterans with the up and comers who've got the energy and also the technical savvy, right? That's a big part of the new journalist today. You have to be ready to file a story on television, likely on radio. Perhaps you have to write something online about it as well. So being able to turn around those stories on a dime and handle all the technical aspects as well is a challenge. And we're certainly finding that the younger journalists coming into the mix, they're already wired for that. So that's not even a challenge. You know, there's a certain challenge for those of us who have been in the business for a while to master the technical side of things. But you're right, we have a really, really strong stable of reporters here that we can count on delivering solid stories on every CBC platform.
And the newscasts on the weekend, the one at 11 o'clock, I mean, I watch when on the weekend. I happen to catch the weekend news most weekends, and then the one at 11 as well. Those are developing a following as well, right? They're developing an audience, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with the numbers there, but I imagine they're going strong.
Yeah. I guess it is important for a station to have a newscast that you know, that's available, you know, at 6, at 11. I mean, you tried noon at one point, didn't you?
We did try noon for a while, and that just didn't fly. Right now, CTV and Global. Again, Global has been doing the noon forever,
yeah.
Forever, and CTV for the last couple of years. I'm really not familiar with how well their noon is doing, but it's a tough time. Maybe it's a good time when people just sit back and have their lunch, and you're part of their lunch. But it's, if you are going to launch a show like that, I think you have to be prepared to promote it, tell people that you're there. And the reality is, what we're doing now is trying to reach the people who may be getting there, having their lunch at work, or maybe just taking a little break out, and I will do a 59-second news update that is accessible on their mobile device.
Uh-huh.
So in a minute, you'll find out what the top stories are, and if you're interested in them, and this is the whole, this is the wave of the future, right? If you're interested in finding out more about any of those headlines, you just click on our website, and there you go, you've got the details. So it's almost a serve-yourself, serve-yourself newscast, as opposed to sitting back. It's a little bit more active, but I think it's a little bit more personal as well, and people can just get right to the stories that they're interested in.
Well, I guess at 12, people should be listening to Mark Forsyth, right?
Exactly, on Almanac, exactly. Well, so you could do both. You could watch my little one-minute newscast on your app, and then get the whole conversation and find out what the province is talking about on BC Almanac with Mark Forsyth. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing about CBC personalities over the years that I remember Frosty Forsyth used to make fun of your voice, but I mean it's a hell of a good broadcasting voice. Forsyth's got a terrific radio voice. Quinn's is not bad, and Bird, of course, is I think one of the best voices in this market. What is it with the water at CBC? Is there something that you all do in terms of how to maintain the presence on the mic?
You should ask what we were drinking at home right before we came to work. Yeah, it's funny. Well, I get those booming broadcast voices. They do penetrate, especially on radio. Yeah. Especially on radio.
What was it like filling in for Quinn the last couple of weeks?
I had a blast. I really did. That On the Coast team is. They hit the ground running in the morning, and they had certain challenges because, I mean, the breaking news stories will be handled in the morning on the Rick Clough show. The topic of the day, of course, on Mark Forsyth on BC Almanac, which covers the province. Mm-hmm. And so they've got to keep it fresh, keep it lively, keep it current, and I have so much respect for Stephen Quinn and his interviewing skills and just his expertise, especially on local Vancouver issues. You know, he covered City Hall for so long, so it was a little bit daunting stepping into his shoes for a couple of weeks, but the team made me feel comfortable. I really enjoyed the opportunity to have longer conversations with people. There are very few interviews on our newscast on the Supper Hour, so when we launched our weekend magazine show, it was nice to get a chance. I get a couple of longer interviews on those, so that's a little bit like spreading your wings for a little bit, taking a bit of a breath, actually having a little chat with somebody, and in hosting radio for a few weeks, you get to do that several times an hour. So you're thinking on your feet, you're in the driver's seat, so to speak, just in, you know, steering from traffic to weather to another interview to a little bit of music to hit the top of the hour with the news and that type of thing. And I loved the liveliness of it, the fact that you could go in depth a little bit more with a conversation. And it was an interesting foray. I mean, they're just across the room, right? The On the Coast team. They're right there. I'm on the coast every afternoon just doing a promo for to talk about what we've got coming up on our show. So I felt like a small member of the team for some time, but it was a great run.
Yeah, and then the thing is, I listened to you throughout the couple weeks that you were on there, and your personality comes through, say, more than it does at 6 o'clock. Or at 5, if we're watching at 5. I mean, you do. I mean, well, I guess it's a fun sort of atmosphere as well. I mean, it's serious, of course, because it's news and the sort. But I mean, there is an element of letting your hair down, if you will.
On radio, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. It was. Yeah. You take a little bit of a breather, and music is a big part of the afternoon show as well. So whether it's covering music festivals around the province or just, you know, playing some music from a local group that might be performing this week in Vancouver. It's fun. That sort of adds a little bit of a fun element. And Lisa Christensen's a big part of that as well. She's a big music fan.
You mentioned Our Vancouver. When can people see that?
Our Vancouver is on, well, it's changing time, so I hate to get pinned down. I believe it's going to be moved. It was 6 a.m. on Saturday mornings. I believe that's getting moved to 11 11 on Sundays, and on Mondays it gets repeated. So this has been a really interesting show because I call it the CBC Vancouver Tour de Force. We run, as I mentioned, I do a couple of in-studio interviews for the show, something that's current, either a business story that affects Vancouver, British Columbia, you know, business success story. Something maybe there is an event happening around the city that we're talking about. We had a, you know, dog expert on after the dogs died in because of heat when they died in the pickup. So we do cover some news stories. It tends to be a little bit focused lighter and on the city. We've got a tremendous team that puts that together. Teresa Lalonde is the producer, and that's her full-time job, just getting that show together every week for 1 hour. And we've got a great editor that makes it look fantastic and takes advantage of all the beauty shots of the city, and it really has a great local feel to it, I think. So yeah, that's on three times: Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Well, you must be aware of the chatter across the country about the CBC and its future. I'm sure that those of you in the organization spend some time wondering about what shape it'll be in, what with the last round of cuts and the sort. Did you have an idea of what the CBC Vancouver, the regional part of that, what that'll look like, say, in a year or so?
No, but if you know, can you tell me? If you hear anything, let me know, please.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's in the throes of change. No, I have no idea what it's going to look like in a year. That's the short answer.
Yeah, and because of the incident in Moncton, people have been saying online that we didn't get as much information as it happened, because newsrooms in that part of the country, at least, and I'm sure across the country, are understaffed. I mean, is that the case, do you think?
I don't know what the case was in Moncton. All I know is I was working late last night because we had NHL hockey, so we were waiting for the game to end, and they were in overtime. And I was amazed to watch my colleagues Ian Hanna-Mansing and Sarah Galashan just pick up that ball and run with it with very little information. I mean, it was, I don't know if it was the staffing of the news people there or the staffing of the police there. I mean, we're talking about a very small town with very limited resources in general. So getting information, any kind of information out there in a timely manner was a challenge. But they performed amazingly. I was just, I was so impressed. And we went on right after the hockey game was on with, you know, we had some still shots at that time. The video was just starting to come in. I don't know if that's a result of CBC cuts. I watched the competition later, and it didn't look to me like anybody else was any better staffed in Moncton, New Brunswick, yesterday.
The Olympics and hockey, I've always wondered that, because, I mean, a lot of people tune into the CBC for that. Does that mean more eyeballs to the local news?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, we get some really great spikes in viewership when those big events are on. The unfortunate part is they don't seem to stay. They go back to their old viewing habits once the games are done and once the playoffs are finished. So, you know, we do recognize it as an opportunity to grab some new viewers, and hopefully they'll like what they see. But so far, that has not panned out.
Now, I'm sure young people come to you with questions about your work and seek advice, perhaps. What advice do you offer young people about getting into your business? I mean, it's changed a lot in 25 years. I'm sure it'll change more in the next 25. I mean, is it a field worth going into, do you think?
Well, we've got so many great young interns coming so well prepared out of journalism school now into the newsroom. They've got their university degrees, and then they've got a journalism degree on top of that. They're almost over-prepared. I am so impressed with the quality, first of all, of the you know, the young reporters and the interns that are showing up here. And it's got to be tough for them when you come into a newsroom, and maybe in your first weeks here, there are 600 job cuts announced across the country. You know, it's a bit disconcerting. Does it mean that this is the end of news? I don't believe that. So I tell them to be flexible, to be as technically savvy as they possibly can, and to be prepared to, you know, report on any of the platforms, whether it's it's television or radio or online. I think, you know, the more versatile you can be, the better.
The other thing I've noticed watching your newscast is that well, I guess that this everyone at the CBC now stands. Did you miss sitting behind a desk?
Not really. No, I mean, it's a change. Change is good. It's good to change. I think we've got a pretty skookum looking studio, you know. So you want to kind of show that off. We've got the jib camera that does the big pans and all the rest of it. So it's a little tough to do that when, you know, you do have the security of the desk. What I do miss is the ability to have my computer right next to me, because I like to have access to the computer to watch updates, especially if there's a developing story. I like to be the one that's searching out the information and not relying on my producer who is in the control room who's searching, and she may be distracted by, you know, some technical issues and can't get the information to me. So I miss the proximity to the computer more than I miss sitting behind a desk.
And is this the first time that you've anchored the Supper Hour news solo? I mean, it seems that you've always had a partner heretofore.
No, back in the 90s, I solo hosted a program called Broadcast One.
Oh, okay.
Back then, the buzzwords were be distinct and alternative and do something that the privates are not doing. So under the leadership of our then executive producer, Sue Rideout, we created a program called Broadcast One. And it was current affairs, and it was a very CBC, very comprehensive current affairs program at 6 o'clock. We would have a top story. Sometimes that top story would run 6 or 7 minutes, which is unheard of in the current, you know, minute 45 world of Supper Hour News. We would have in-depth interviews. We would do long-form investigative journalism at 6 o'clock, and I hosted that program for several years. What happened was it turned out there wasn't an appetite for current affairs at 6 o'clock, that it turned out people actually want news, sports, and weather at 6 o'clock. So it's kind of interesting that we've gone full circle in 20 years, where now the buzzwords are, again, be distinct and be alternative and do something that the privates are not doing. So it's like, I've seen this movie before.
When you started, I guess, 25 years ago, I guess Kevin Evans, he was your co-anchor, is that right?
Yes, I started hosting the late night news, and Kevin was the anchor at 6 o'clock at the time. So the decision out of Toronto came a couple of years after I started to cancel late night newscasts across the country. And so in canceling the late night news, they created an extra half hour at 6 o'clock, I think it was the 5:30 show, which I hosted and then co-anchored. I did the 5:30 show on my own and then popped into co-anchor with Kevin Evans, that's right.
Yeah, well, Reimer, he was doing the weather at the time, right?
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it does go by. 25 years does go by quickly, because, I mean, I remember watching, you know, I still do, I flip around. But, I mean, I do remember people like Reimer. I remember you sitting with Ian for many years, and then, of course, Tony recently.
Yes.
Yeah. The 25 years ago, around this time of year, you were planning to go out to Australia. I mean, mm-hmm. I did this in the research. And you had tickets booked and everything, but you ditched those plans because you got the call from the CBC. Did you ever make it to Australia?
I had been to Australia for interviews prior to getting the work visa. I had been to Australia. Went for some interviews at the ABC in Brisbane, and I wasn't getting any breaks in television here in Vancouver. I was working in radio, and I had auditioned for some anchors. I've been in anchor positions here at the CBC. I was filling in part-time doing the weather. I had been to BCTV. I'd been to, at that time, I don't know, it was UTV or City TV. It wasn't City TV then. It was CKVU or UTV.
Yeah.
You know, went through it. I was just saying, okay, these opportunities are just not panning out for me here. I had some friends in Australia, so I did go there and traveled around a bit and went for some interviews and got enough of a feeling of yes, we can, you know, come on over and you can work for us. And I mean, there was no guaranteed job or anything like that. I don't want to leave that impression at all, but there was enough hope that I thought, okay, let's try Australia then. So yes, I gave up my full-time radio job and sold my car and gave up my apartment. And at that same time, the late-night anchor position came open at CBC. And so I decided I had nothing to lose. I had a ticket in my pocket when I did the audition. I felt like I couldn't have done better on the audition. I had a subsequent board interview, which goes on for several hours, with the heads of the newsroom, and you're quizzed on current affairs and that type of thing. And I passed that with flying colors, and I think I aced the audition. And yeah, 3 days before getting on my where I was supposed to get on my flight, yeah. I got the job.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I read that somewhere, and I always thought, well, what if she had gone to Australia?
Well, there is always that, isn't what if? I would probably be speaking with a much stronger accent right now.
but it's been a great 25 years here in Vancouver, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a good run. You know, I just say it's never a dull moment. Change has been the constant in my 25 years at CBC, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, congratulations on everything, and you're good to do this. Thanks for this. It's been fun talking to you today.
Thank you, Joe.
CBC.ca/BC is the website for more. Gloria Makarenko is on at 5 and 6 p.m. on Channel 3 here in Vancouver, where she joined me on the line from. I'm Joseph Potter.